KTS Hawk and KTNF AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. Good morning to all of you joining us locally by radio and streaming online. We appreciate you tuning in. Today is Sunday, Today's Sunday, June 17th, 2018. I'm Maddie Love, and I'm really happy to be joined in studio today by Hertzy Hertz, Julie Love, and our special guest, David Gamet. David is a mentalist, humanist, professional speaker, and a member of Minnesota Atheists, which of course means that since he's local, he must be good people. This is an open conversation. We welcome and encourage listener interaction with your phone calls to 952-946-6205, your emails to radio at mnatheist.org, tweet us at atheisttalk, or send us a message over at facebook.com/atheisttalk. Hertzy, Julie, David, thank you for joining me on this swampy,
good morning,
damp, moist Sunday morning.
Ah. I knew you were going to say that.
I just have to correct you on one thing. I am terrible people. I am not good people.
That is not true.
I was going to say, you're in the studio, so you are excellent people.
Oh, totally. You're the best people.
Only the best people.
We only invite the best people here. And I think everybody here can attest to that. So, David, you and I met for dinner a few weeks ago, mm-hmm. and we talked for like 2 hours across a variety of topics.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Like, we even touched on dark matter. Yeah. But what caused me to initially reach out to you was your work as a mentalist. Mentalism, to be honest, fascinates me. And I'm wondering, can you take a moment to explain to the audience what mentalism is?
So when you're watching a mentalist, essentially what you're watching is, in a nutshell, there's more to it than that. It's basically like a mind reading show, influence, predictions. It's basically just kind of performance using information. And there's a mixture of just like magic, psychology, and like it's all basically centered around the mind.
Okay. So I guess I get confused sometimes between the differences between mentalism and magic. I guess are they related? Are people a lot of times both?
Yeah, you can be both. They are related, but they're still kind of separate in a way. So you kind of have, if we think of it like music, you have genres and subgenres. So think of magic as the overarching like genre, and then mentalism is kind of a subgenre of that. And there's some kind of trickery you can do to exaggerate things, but not necessarily everything is a trick. Like, it's very much a mixture of things. And a lot of the fun is guessing the mystery of, like, okay, I don't quite know how that happened, but what just, like, you can't really, it blends what's real and what's not. And it's, we're not going to tell you what the difference is.
Do you have a hard time, like, as a mentalist, then, spoiler alert, David is not going to reveal any secrets on this episode. But do you have I hear magicians talk about, like, there's multiple ways to do, like, an illusion. So as a mentalist, if you go to a mentalism show or you watch another mentalist, do you find yourself being, not suckered isn't the right word, but do you find they're it's able to work on you as well?
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. When I watch other performers, I don't watch just to kind of, like, figure out whatever. I want to enjoy the show, especially the first time that I'm seeing it. And, you know, everybody kind of has their own secrets and stuff. But, I mean, just from having background knowledge, there are certain things that you can pick up on. But, I mean, it's still, like, an amazing show.
I was going to say, follow-up question, have you ever watched someone and been like, no. You got to do it this way.
oh, got to do it this way. I mean, I'm
not even got to, but like, okay, you did this, but you gotta do a little bit more of that.
Yeah, I will give advice and feedback, but I don't take it as like my way is the right way by any means. I found that this has worked for me, and that you know, it might be worth exploring it this way, or maybe tweak it, and maybe even doing it, you might stumble on something completely new that neither of us knew.
I totally just blanked on what I was going to ask you. Julie, you were talking to me about something beforehand, though.
Yeah, so I think a lot of people are familiar with the show The Mentalist, and I'm just really curious to know, was that really real, or does that work?
Well, I believe the show was scripted.
Oh, okay, thanks.
I'm shocked. That spoilers.
I know, I'm sorry.
Yeah,
sorry
to ruin that. I knew I'd get a spoiler out of him.
But yeah, actually, so when I heard that there was going to be a show called The Mentalist, I was actually appalled at first, because so many people are not familiar with the term. Most people go their entire lives without ever, not just not meeting someone, but never even hearing that term. And so I thought that it was just going to kind of Hollywood it and make it just really not what it is. Well, I ended up watching the show and I ended up just falling in love with the show. It was really, really good. And I love that they, like, for the most part, like 90% of it, they presented it really, really accurately. And, but at the same time, without explaining the mystery, which is good because I don't want them, like, telling, like, some of this stuff you can, like, start your own cults with. Like, I don't want, like, your average watcher learning that. But, no, it was a great show. And so I kind of dug in a bit because I was curious as to how they were able to portray it like that. And it turns out they had a mentalist consulting on the show. And I was like, ah, that explains it. But, yeah, no, it was actually just a – it was a great show. I loved it. I wish there was more seasons.
Hashtag Joseph Smith was a mentalist.
we're totally going to come to say that's a fact.
No, that is an opinion.
Turn it to fact.
Fake news. You know, I first came across mentalism as part of the skeptic movement. Mm-hmm. And I feel like mentalism was a good way for me to understand listening to mentalists talk and then listening to magicians talk too, to teach me that my brain doesn't work necessarily the way I think my brain works. And I feel like if everybody understood, like, at least they don't even have to understand how mentalism works, mm-hmm. but to understand that it does and that it's, you know, your brain not working the way you think it works, mm-hmm. I think the world would be at such a better place if people just understood that.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that's actually one of the main reasons why I do what I do. I try to bridge that gap because so many people are just talking past each other and I want to help. Can't think of the right word, but further human connection and understanding, because when you understand each other, the world becomes a better place. So I try to bridge that gap, make people understand each other more, come in from a point of empathy. Like, it's amazing. And if we had more of that, it would definitely be, we wouldn't be in the situation we're in today.
That's so true. You had mentioned you didn't want everybody to know how to do some of these things because there'd be a lot of people could start their own cults.
Yeah.
Do you run into other mentalists who are basically furthering the idea to the audience, like they want the audience to think that they have, because like, there's some famous ones that I think people have heard of, like Uri Geller or whatever, that will claim they have powers, but I'm sure there's lesser known ones, but like, is that a thing that you run into a lot, or?
For the most part, when I run into people, there are people that kind of claim all sorts of different things, but when they do, usually it's within the context of the show and people aren't trying to do any kind of like nefarious thing outside of that show. We get asked all sorts of crazy things. Like, there's a big debate within the mentalism community as to whether you need a disclaimer or not. And some people go on the side of disclaimer, some people don't. And what I've really found is that it doesn't matter. When you disclaim things, people are going to leave out, for the most part, thinking the same thing they did. And no matter how much a disclaimer you give, they're still going to ask you to, like, contact their dead grandma or something. And it's such an uncomfortable conversation when that happens. Because, like, no. I'm very clear. I cannot do that. I don't do that. And I've yet to see anybody who actually can. So I just wouldn't go down that route. Because that's a very appealing thing. If you could, of course you would want to. So just... Yeah, no.
I remember, and I realized Chris Angel's a magician, not a mentalist, but he had made some comment about, like, if I really had magic powers, I would not be up here on stage. I'd be, like, walking into bank vaults and, like, doing things like that. He's like, I wouldn't be up here on stage, but, no, I just know.
Hashtag, we need to rob a bank.
There you go.
I'm in.
Now you see me.
Oh, God. I forgot about that movie. And the sequel. That I haven't seen the sequel yet. I don't know if it's any good. The first one I enjoyed, but I enjoyed it with like a no. No.
So psychics are just mentalists who are preying on people?
What? No.
Is that the feeling that
is
I'm
not what I was
on?
Is that how it came off? That's not what I meant. No, so.
No, that was a poorly worded question. I mean, because not necessarily preying on people, but is it the same skill?
Talking about when psychics do what their thing is.
Yeah.
There is a crossover, but psychics are even divided into different categories. They have what is known as the Shut-Eye community, and the Shut-Eye community is the ones where they don't know that there's tricks that you can do. And so they really believe that they have these things, and they tend to not be quite as good. But, I mean... It really depends. If you fall into empathy with someone, you'd be shocked how much you can figure out about a person and really feed back to them. But when it comes to certain specifics, they're just unaware of certain things. So there really is a dynamic where some people believe in what they're doing, and the ones that are like really, really good, they know what they're doing. Like there's a.
The ones that have TV shows.
I'm not naming names, but yeah, there's.
Well, I feel like that's a good, like, there are a lot of true believers.
Yeah.
And, like, especially when I, like, skeptic stuff. Mm-hmm. Like, I never hold it against, say, an anti-vaxxer. If a mother or whatever, or a father who's,
they
like,
think
trying.
They're helping.
Right, they're doing that. It's not their fault that they just truly believe. It's the people that are, knowingly promoting
stuff. If they really believe that vaccines were harmful, how much would you have to hate the person to not bring it up?
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
So it's just, it's trying to bridge that gap and understand their worldview. Now, obviously, vaccines are helpful, but I'm not defending that idea.
No, I get that, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it's the same argument, like, when I was in the church, like, they would tell us, like, you should tell people about Jesus if you truly love them because you want to save them from going to hell. So it's like...
And I'm always willing to have that conversation. I find that quite entertaining.
I fully admit I would probably be having the vaccine conversation, especially if it was like my sister and the nibbling, because it's not just her life that's at risk. Then it's also the nibblings and
right. But if you had thought the vaccines were harmful, you would be sharing that because you care.
Yeah.
About
okay.
The nibbling.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I would be sharing that. Okay. I think I see where you guys were going.
Yeah. 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 I think we definitely need to have that conversation.
Well, we're going to go into a break here. When we come back, I wanted to ask you if you had a favorite trick or part of your performance, obviously without spoiling anything, because I don't want anybody to get the wrong idea. All right, so please stay with us through this short break while David guesses the bank account numbers in my head. You're listening to Atheist Talk on AM 950 KTNF, the Progressive Voice of Minnesota.
Is it time to downsize but don't know where to start? Give the House Geeks with Bricks Real Estate a call. We're experienced in making this process as easy as possible. Whether it is help with pricing your home, assistance in finding movers, or any of the other professionals you might need to get your home sold, we're here for you. Take the worry away by giving us a call today at 612-207-5388. That's 612-207-5388 or online anytime at housegeeks.com.
And the first sentence of his email said, I'd like to stay anonymous. And the second sentence said, I'd like to donate $1 million to the Global Good Fund. Where should I send the check?
I'm Tony Lloyd, and I'm the host of the brand new show, Social Entrepreneur. If you love stories that engage, inform, and inspire, you don't want to miss it. Join us every Monday from 7 to 8 a.m. right here on AM 950, the Progressive Voice of Minnesota.
Being a dog is awesome, except when you really gotta go, but you're stuck inside. That's why I had my human call the Urban Dog. Daily walks, field trips, play groups, one-on-one time, safe off-leash play, and pet sitting. I love being an Urban Dog.
The Urban Dog works with your schedule and can create a plan that fits your needs. The Urban Dog. Exercise, explore, socialize. Let the journey begin. Call 651-231-6333. That's 651-231-6333.
Hi, my name is Mickey McCabe, and I'm the owner of Cucumbers Restaurant at 75th and Francine Dinah. If you've never been to Cucumbers, it's a buffet-style restaurant with a huge variety of salads, homemade soups, bakery items, and hot entrees that change daily and nightly, plus our always fresh fruit and delicious ice cream. We're open for lunch and dinner, but Sunday brunch is my favorite time at Cucumbers, with scrambled eggs, waffles, French toast, bacon, sausage, baked ham, chicken fajitas, brunch potatoes, warm gooey cinnamon rolls, and many other items to choose from, it's no wonder why Cucumbers has always been a popular Sunday destination. So whether you're looking to skip Mass, someplace to go after Mass, or just great food to maintain your Mass, Cucumbers is the answer to your prayers. Bring in your church bulletin or Minnesota Atheist newsletter and receive a $2 discount off the buffet price. Cucumbers, one heavenly buffet at 75th and France in Edina.
Don't believe in God? Join the club. Humanists, atheists, and freethinkers have joined the American Humanist Association since 1941 to advocate for progressive values and equality for non-theists in America. Located in Washington, D.C., the American Humanist Association lobbies Congress on humanist issues, protects the rights of atheists in the courts, and supports more than 140 local chapters. Visit us at AmericanHumanist.org or find us on Facebook and Twitter to learn how you can join the club today.
Welcome back to AM 950 KTNF, the progressive voice of Minnesota. You're tuned into Atheist Talk. I'm your host, Maddie Love, in studio with Hertzie Hertz, Julie Love, and mentalist speaker and performer David Gamet. Before we get back to the show, I want to remind everyone listening live that immediately following this program, you can listen to American Atheist Viewpoint, an official production from American Atheists. If you miss an episode live, you can always catch American Atheist Viewpoint by subscribing to the podcast version in Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Stitcher, or your favorite podcatcher. If you are listening live and have a question for David, you can reach us in studio at 952-946-6205. You can also email us at radio@mnatheist.org, tweet us at Atheist Talk, or leave a message on the Facebook post for this episode over at facebook.com/atheisttalk. All right, so David, when we went into the break, I was wondering, do you have a favorite part of your performance? Or is trick the right word?
I usually say effect.
Effect?
Yeah.
So do you have a favorite effect? Fact. And obviously, like I said, you know, we're not looking, we don't, for actually, like, I don't even want you to spoil it, because I don't want to, I like going in and being amazed, like, I know that that isn't like, I know you don't have powers, but oh my gosh, it feels like you have powers. Yes. I love that feeling.
Yes. So there's kind of a staple of my show that I do in every single show, just because I love it so much. So I very much theme on the idea of human connection. So there's a point in my show where I bring up people who have been like friends for a really long time or have gone through an intense experience together, have them kind of focus on that memory, and then I'd kind of just amplify the connection between them, and then they end up feeling what the other person is feeling. And so all the way to the point where like you can touch one of them and the other person will feel it. And it's just a really, really cool moment. And their eyes are closed during the whole thing. That way they can't cheat. And quite often when I do that, I usually have people like record it on camera, and after the show I can show you some examples if you like, but
that'd be cool.
they're watching it back, and you just see them going, no, wait, hold up, I really felt that though. And,
yeah. That's so, the perfect example. It's like, yeah, you know, you think you know how your brain works, but you don't know how your brain works. I remember thinking of that, like Teller from Penn and Teller was talking, he was saying, no, I was doing this, you know, cup and ball trick just by myself at a table, having a conversation with somebody else. Like, and he realized he just fooled himself.
Mm.
And he's like, that shouldn't be possible. Like,
but wait, hold up. But I did.
Yeah. Like, does your brain not work the way you think it does? And I feel like that's there's a huge tie into religion there too. talking about connections, during our conversation a couple weeks ago, you mentioned how your grandmother inspired you, and yes, if you're comfortable sharing, because it's a pretty personal topic, would you be willing to talk more about how she inspired you?
Oh God, she was everything to me. She was essentially the person that raised me and did everything for me, fed me, clothed me, brought to my friend's house, went to every. I was involved in martial arts and dance and stuff as well, and she came to like every performance, and she. She just really showed me how to be a really good human being. And she was constantly setting herself to the side and taking care of everyone else. And she was just, that's probably where I got it from, to be honest. She just had a massive, massive impact in my life. I was very lucky to have her. I genuinely don't know I'd still be around if it wasn't for her. So, yeah, no. I owe her everything.
Both a couple grandmas sitting here going, I hope one day our granddaughter we have custody of, yeah, I hope she's saying the same thing.
Give her a few years.
If there was a saint, she would have been one of them. Yeah. Yeah.
Were you raised with religion?
Yeah. So my grandma was Catholic, and so I grew up Catholic. And I went to church with her every week. And as I was a teenager, and I started trying to... So when you start learning like magic, for example, you kind of get like a backdoor look into psychology. Mentalism is an even much, much deeper dive into that. And so I started recognizing different things in church that kind of fall into putting ideas into people's heads. And so then I was like, okay, well, that makes this other stuff make sense because there's a lot of things in here that just seem like terrible ideas to me. And so I started jumping from, okay, well, maybe it's not this. So then I switched from Catholicism to Christianity, but like a non-denominational one. And I started kind of jumping churches trying to find the right fit for me. And I thought I had found one, and then they wanted me to start talking in tongues. And I was like, oh, okay, so you're one of those two. All right. And I just kind of, after that, I just kind of let go of religion, but I still believed in the idea of God. And yeah, it was it's shocking because I remember when I converted to Christianity, I remember the day that I got saved. And that's a very, like, emotional, instantaneous type thing. The emotions are real, but what you're attributing it to isn't.
Right.
And so that tends, like, when someone goes from non-religious to religious, that tends to be very, very quick. But going from religious to non-religious tends to be, like, a longer process. Like, for me, that was, like, a 10-year journey. And that was from the point where I didn't believe in the church. It took me about 10 years from there. I just kind of found an excuse to call the universe God. And maybe we're screwing up when we tried to define whatever he, she, it is. Maybe it's an energy. Maybe it's a... I was just finding reasons to make it a thing. And then eventually I kind of fell out when I realized if it does exist, there's no way it could be... Like, if this is the world that a God made, then that God is a bit of a monster. And I wouldn't worship it even if it was real. So.
Yeah, that's kind of where I'm at now. It's like, I could die and go to heaven.
Yeah.
And it'd be like, okay, well, fine, you exist. Yeah. I admit it, you exist. You're really super powerful. You're still an expletive deleted.
Yeah.
Like,
yes. I feel like if I was a God and all these people were dying and coming to me, I feel like there would be a lot of baggage trying to have conversations with all these people. You're like, I would not want to be what they picture me to be.
Right.
Like,
oh. Like, I'm sorry.
I think my first words would be, I have questions.
Yeah, I remember, like, in my journey, like, the hardest thing I had was finally giving up the idea of hell.
Yeah.
That was easy for me.
Oh, that was really hard. And then I just remember, like, walking down the hallway one day thinking to myself, and I was having, like, a thought that was, like, technically a sin or whatever. I don't remember what it was now. But I just remember the light bulb going off. I'm like, wait a minute. I don't have to feel guilty about that. Nobody knows I was thinking that. Like,
yeah.
It was such a, like, that was actually such a huge relief.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, I don't understand this idea of, like, having to, like, going back and walking around all day and, like, worrying that people are looking over your shoulder and judging you based on what's in your head.
Yeah.
But
thought crime. You want the minority report.
I don't need religion for that. I worry about that anyway.
Oh, what's going on in her head? It's okay. I'll tell you. Off air.
Oh, my.
Oh, gosh.
We need a George Takei button.
Sam, can you make that happen? Can we get a George Takei button? Sam is our super awesome sound engineer, producer guy, and he's going to work on getting us a George Takei button by the end of next year's episode.
Next year's episode? It's a slow worker. Trump wouldn't pay him.
I thought it was interesting how you talked about you moved from Catholicism to Christianity,
mm-hmm.
and I feel like there's probably a few listeners in our audience who are like, actually,
Christianity is really an umbrella term that was kind of politicized to get more people into one group.
Right. But at the same time, like when the fundy church I was going to, we would have totally agreed with you. They were Catholics, but they weren't going to heaven.
Right. Yeah. Everybody thinks they're the only ones.
Yeah, pretty much. All right. When we come back, we'll talk more about your speaking.
Sounds good.
We'll return to our discussion right after this brief commercial break. I'm Maddie, here with Hertzie, Julie, and David. You're listening to Atheist Talk on KTNF, AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota.
Hi, this is Gregory Rich from Habitation Furnishing and Design, and I'd like you to tune in to a new program, Drink in the Style. Sundays at 5 p.m., Drink in the Style is going to be a one-hour conversation about interior design and aesthetics, all while enjoying a cocktail created by a local mixologist. Drink in the Style, Sundays at 5 p.m., brought to you by Habitation Furnishing and Design.
It's a good day to be indigenous.
Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake. Our weekly Native American talk radio show will discuss national and local Native American news and events. Local and national guests will help us keep current with Mother Earth, tribal, and Twin City issues. Native American issues are human issues. We invite all people to walk hand in hand with our struggles, victories, and achievements. Listen Saturdays at 2 p.m.
I am awake.
Hello, humans. This is me, Ellie Krug, with Ellie 2.0 on Monday mornings at 7:30. This Monday, I'll talk about an idealistic entrepreneur, Len Riggio, the CEO of Barnes & Noble. I recently heard him speak of how paperback books compared to hardcover books have brought literature to the masses. He also believes that a single book can change a person's life. Such an idealist. Ellie 2.0, engaging and real on AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota.
Atheists, secular humanists, and free thinkers, here you are listening to the Minnesota Atheists Talk Radio Show, Atheist Talk. We hope you are enjoying it. If having a frankly atheist perspective on the radio waves appeals to you, please consider making a contribution to our radio fund. Our contract came up for renewal, and we need your help if you want the program to stay on the air. That will make sure that you can continue to have opportunities to hear interesting speakers with non-religious perspectives, and you can call up and ask them questions too. Get the details on our website at minnesotaatheists.org, where you will find buttons to make it easy to make a secure donation through PayPal. Or, if you have a business and would like to reach an intelligent, progressive audience, please contact us through our website. That's minnesotaatheists.org. Or call us at 612-588-7031. If you are interested in us, we are interested in you.
Don't believe in God? Join the club. Humanists, atheists, and freethinkers have joined the American Humanist Association since 1941 to advocate for progressive values and equality for non-theists in America. Located in Washington, D.C., the American Humanist Association lobbies Congress on humanist issues, protects the rights of atheists in the courts, and supports more than 140 local chapters. Visit us at AmericanHumanist.org or find us on Facebook and Twitter to learn how you can join the club today.
With your AM950 weather, I'm Sam Turnberg. Today we could see showers and thunderstorms with a high near 91. Tonight those storms could continue with a low around 66. Tomorrow will be cloudy with a high near 77. And Tuesday partly sunny with a high near 79. Nokomis Cycle is the hardest working bike shop in town. With 23 years in business, they've mastered the art of friendly, dependable service. Keep life and your bike moving with Nokomis Cycle at the corner of 46th and Bloomington Avenue South in Minneapolis or at nokomiscycle.com.
Thank you for tuning in to Atheist Talk on AM 950 KTNF. I'm Maddie Love in studio today with Hertzy Hertz, Julie Love, and a man with the power to destroy your cutlery, David Gemmett. Before we continue with our conversation, which will be our final segment with David, Julie, and Hertzy, just a few messages. I say it every week, but it is truly important to me that we keep secular voices on the public airwaves and in podcast form. Atheist Talk is produced with funding from the Minnesota Atheist and Cucumbers Restaurant in Edina. Please consider visiting our sponsors, and if you do, let them know that you appreciate their support of Atheist Talk. If you would like to advertise in this program and help keep us on the air, please contact us at radio@mnatheist.org. This program is put together by dedicated volunteers and generous donations of our listeners. Listeners like you keep Atheist Talk on the radio and in podcast form. This week, we'd like to extend special thanks to monthly sustaining donor Cindy. If you're able to help with a donation, please consider doing so at our Radio Fund page or consider becoming a patron of the show by heading over to patreon.com/atheisttalk, where this week patrons will magically be getting another extended version of the show. I say magically because the extended version is definitely not an illusion. Minnesota Atheist is a 501c3 tax-deductible organization. Music from Atheist Talk is by composer and member Brent Michael David. Mischief managed, we now return to Hertzy, Julie, and David.
Good Harry Potter reference.
Thank you.
Yes.
I
love Harry Potter.
I love Harry Potter. I also love the controversy that came with Harry Potter.
Oh, my
God. That's another subject. That's another subject for another day.
How many owls did you get in your Harry Potter trivia? No, just kidding. ordinary wizarding levels. So, David, in addition to your mentalism, you also do speaking events. Well, I guess maybe not in addition, because you...
Yeah, I kind of bring them together. It's like infotainment.
such as maybe, never mind. I don't know if that's a public thing yet. I was going to say something, but I haven't run that past Hertz yet. One of the topics you mentioned to me previously,
I'll be coming in your homes.
Oh my. No, we need Marissa's doing George Takei as a recording. That would be better.
I could totally do that. We have that. Yeah, I'll get that and give it to someone.
I love your radio voice.
He doesn't like my radio face. But
face for radio and a voice for closed captions.
Oh, God. I love that.
I'm sorry. I derailed this.
That really ties into what I was going to ask you about, because you talked about earlier about crossing borders and getting people together.
Yeah.
And so one of the topics you mentioned to me previously was this idea of people online, people in face-to-face conversations, that like just talking past each other, not having a productive conversation, like especially on topics that are like dear to our hearts.
Mm-hmm.
Religion, politics, but other things like how much I personally really dislike Sam Harris, but how other people may certainly really like Sam Harris. How is it possible to have productive conversations when two people have like such opposing viewpoints?
I think entering the conversation without a pretense is really, really helpful. Because if you come in not assuming the other person is an idiot, and just it's helpful because that helps to frame it all. So I take the mantra of, if I can't explain my opponent's viewpoint, I don't truly understand what we're talking about. So quite often they'll say something. I find that street epistemology, like kind of the Socratic method, that's helpful, asking questions to really kind of clarify what their thinking is. And you can kind of lead them along a path. After they make their point, sometimes it can be helpful to kind of restate their point, but in a way where they were like, man, I wish I would have put it like that. And then dismantling it from there and kind of really addressing it. I explain everything as if I'm talking to a six-year-old, not because I assume the other person's stupid, but because I feel like it's my job as a communicator to make sure that I'm being understood. So it's kind of taking responsibility for what I'm saying and for trying to understand what they're saying. And when you come in with that, it kind of creates this air of mutual respect. If they start name-calling, be like, hold up, I'm not going to be a part of that. I want to talk about this actual thing because I think you're worth talking to on this, but I'm not going to attack you personally, so let's just keep that here. Make sure that when you ask a question, they don't move the goalposts and start addressing something else. Because, like, for example, when we were talking about marriage equality, like a couple of years ago, I remember someone bringing up the fact that, yeah, but some people just want to get married for benefits. So I kind of took control of the framing. And I was like, well, if we want to talk about whether marriage should have benefits, that's a separate conversation. We can have that. But right now we're talking about marriage having equal rights and just kind of making sure they don't move it. And when you reframe it that way, suddenly it's like, well, I don't want my benefits to go away. So what are you talking? So making sure that you just kind of zoom out a bit and control the whole frame is a good way to make sure the conversation stays in a good direction, and just being very conscious of the words you're using.
To your point about explaining to things like it's a six-year-old, that's, I think it was Einstein, and somebody can correct me if I'm wrong.
Yeah, who actually, no, that's not an original thought with me.
Oh, yeah. But, it's like, but I love that idea of, like, if you cannot explain it to a five-year-old or a six-year-old, you obviously do not understand it enough. And I'm like, that's a good way, which is also why I don't do debates.
Yeah, I'm terrible.
I love debates.
I can do debates.
I've got a podcast that you need to look at.
Okay.
I can do debates like Julie and I will talk because we respect each other so much, or at least I respect her.
If I want your opinion, I'll give it to you.
And that's how you don't have a conversation.
It depends on the household.
And I can have like logical, rational discussions online because I can step back, but I have this problem. Like if I'm face-to-face with somebody, it's
passion,
like,
gets involved.
No, it's for me, it's the fight or flight, because I get so much adrenaline, and then my logic circuits just disappear. And then I get done, and I'm like, why did I say that? Why didn't I say that? Why, like, forget it.
And then I'm done. Sleep at night.
Yeah, pretty much. And then I have a conversation riding my bike or driving home. Like, oh, I'm just replaying that conversation.
That would be me on that one debate I did on the Robert Stanley show. Nope.
Well, and I feel like it might take a while for the world to adopt that kind of thinking as a whole when it comes to people with different ideas. Is there an approach I should take when walking into that conversation when I'm expecting to counter pushback?
I think one one principle to keep in mind is that every person, for the most part, every single person's greatest need is that of validation and feeling validated as a human being. And so kind of that type of empathy can really kind of get someone to do, because people aren't going to change their minds if you're just attacking them. They're just going to dig their heels into the ground further. They need to feel safe enough to know that they're allowed to change their minds without being ridiculed. And so if you can validate them, be like, you know what, I thought that too, but it turns out, or, well, yeah, but you could phrase it in a bunch of different ways. But, like, there was an issue that I went back and forth on quite a bit until I finally went to my current things. And all I did was I just kind of like, okay, so you're saying this is how it works. If I follow that down its logical path, what's actually going to happen? And I won't get into specific topics here for your guys' sake, but...
yeah, that's a slippery slope.
Yeah. But yeah, no, validation, like just having the self-awareness to know what it is that they need from an emotional standpoint is a good way to get them to have a rational conversation. People tend to want to reciprocate that. If I'm treating you like a human being and you treat me like an idiot, you're very obviously going to look like a terrible person, and nobody wants to be that.
Right.
So just kind of stepping back.
At what point during this conversation you're having with somebody, because let's say conversation versus debate, but mm-hmm. like, you know, because you, it sounds like you more want to have a conversation.
Yes.
Yes. You may be debating an issue, but mm-hmm. it's meant to be a conversation.
Yes. I don't care who's right. I care what's right. And so as long as we stick to the ideas, I hope that comes across.
At what point then do you step back and say, you know what, I need to step away from this conversation. It's not going anywhere. You're just insulting, or you're just, you know what I mean? Is there a point?
Yeah, well, sometimes I have a hard time actually stepping off because I care so much. But when they start just getting angry, or it's like, it's very clear that they're not willing to join me on this journey. Like when I come to the point where I realize that if I can point out there's a flaw in your thing, and you're going to continue to use it with other people anyway. And when I find out that you're not willing to do this, you're getting angry, you're getting defensive, I'm not trying to attack you, but you still feel attacked or you're attacking me back. At that point, I'm just like, this isn't even worth my time. Look, I'm sorry. I wish you the best, but maybe we'll revisit this another time. Let's just step back right now. We can go the British route, have some tea. Like, I don't know. But we'll...
Tea and crumpets.
I prefer my biscuits. tea, biscuits, and gravy.
And now I want to watch British Bake Off again.
I'm good. I'm good. I find myself on online conversations sometimes going past that point where I feel like I'm going to make any headway.
It's hard to stop sometimes.
Well, and I find sometimes I do it because I feel like, are there other people watching?
Yes.
Are there other people
Yes. making? Yes. Sorry, I did not mean to interrupt.
No, that's why you're here, is to talk.
That's one of the things I always keep in mind. Regardless of how the other person is conducting themselves, especially online, I'm going to make sure that I'm at least going to come off sane, because I don't want to undercut my own argument. If we're having this debate on, like, Facebook comments, for example, I'm not necessarily writing for them. I'm writing for the invisible third party who's reading but not commenting. And if they look at it and I'm talking like a crazy person, I'm just angry or whatever, they don't want to associate with me. They're not going to be like, well, he thinks this and he looks crazy, so I don't want to be that, so I'm going to go the other route. I'm not going to be that guy.
Right.
That's going to, like, just from the manner that I conduct myself, cause them to skew off.
Well, yeah, because there's, you know, tons and tons of research about, mm-hmm. you know, the more you present evidence to somebody, mm-hmm. there's a good chance they may strengthen their position.
Yeah.
Like, no, like, we can prove global warming's real. Oh, yeah, well, then I just double down and don't believe it, like, even
yeah.
more.
Yeah, so
and
it's ask just, questions.
Yeah.
Listen more.
Well, and I liked how you said, you know, reframing their argument. I'm assuming you don't mean like taking their argument, reframing it, and then building a straw man out of it.
No. In fact, I would say reframe their argument and make it stronger than what they presented, and then dismantle that. Because if they think I couldn't have even put it that way, I thought that was really good, and then you take that apart, they've got nowhere to go.
So a little bit of role play, I guess, then, just so I know, so we can put this into practice. Say I'm one of those.
Where are we
going
to be?
Well, I'm gonna be this unusual, weird, horrible social justice warrior type, who also happens to be an atheist and maybe a transgender person. So like everything a bigoted Christian cake baker hates. So using that as an example, how would you recommend I approach a conversation with a baker who refuses to bake me a delicious pineapple upside down cake for my birthday?
You burn the bakery down. That's the first step.
I like your logic.
Atheist talk in Minnesota. This does not promote burning the bakeries.
Technically, I should be saying that.
I don't know that I would want a cake baked by someone who hates me. They might do something to the cake. I'm just thinking from my own safety.
Well, just as you're thinking about, does your approach change if I want them to write "Hail Satan" on it?
Just be like, well, I suppose I'd have to ask questions. I'd find out, okay, so what exactly is it specifically about this that you don't want to do? And I find that what questions are better than whys. Whys give you very fuzzy answers. If I ask you, why did you decide you want to be on the radio? Or if I say, what made you decide you want to be on the radio? You get tangible answers from one. So I would just ask them, like, what is it about this that you don't like? Why don't you want to do this? And just kind of listen to it, address that. And you kind of have to take it step by step. I can't bring up specific points if I don't know what the obstacles are. Right. So a lot of it really is just asking questions and trying to understand the other person.
Well, I think it helps. And obviously, as you ask questions, you might find out that you're wrong. But I think, mentioned, it helps to start from a point of being charitable in the argument. Mm-hmm. It may take only one question to go, okay, wait a minute. You don't get any more charity. But. Yeah. All right. Well, it looks like we're about out of time. Are you going to stick around
I'll stick around.
Do some extra Patreon content?
Yay. Yeah, let's do it.
Awesome. All right. Well, thank you for tuning in to Atheist Talk. I'm proud to be on the air with Minnesota Atheists and hope you enjoy the show. All opinions, ideas expressed in today's show are the opinions of the guests and hosts who do not necessarily represent the opinions and ideas of Minnesota Atheists. This show depends on the generous support of our members, sponsors, and donors. Please consider supporting the show through a donation link at mnatheist.org. This has been Atheist Talk, AM 950, KTNF, Progressive Voice, Minnesota. Have a fantastic Sunday. Remember to always tip in cash, as most bars ban a check.
Warning. Last year, over 40,000 Americans died in car-related accidents. Not a pleasant thought, is it? In fact, as thoughts go, it's downright depressing. Well, that's where we can help cheer you up. We're StandUpRecords.com, and we offer the finest in CDs, DVDs, downloads, and merchandise from the best comedians on Earth. Artists like Mark Maron, Maria Bamford, Eddie Pepitone, and Doug Stanhope. Available at fine record stores, Amazon.com, and the iTunes Music Store. That's StandUpRecords.com. Come on, listen to us while you're driving. Live dangerously.
Connections Radio Show is all about tapping into our hardwired hunger to connect. We examine meaningful connections to ourselves, our community, and the world around us. By opening the door to innovative insights by a wide variety of interesting guests, we'll make the connections to something bigger than ourselves. Join me, Lori Fitz, your host of Connections Radio Show, and together, we'll make the connections. Saturday mornings at 9 a.m. on AM 950, the Progressive Voice of Minnesota.
Hi, my name is Mickey McCabe. I'm the owner of Cucumbers Restaurant at 75th and France in Edina. Many who have dined at Cucumbers are of the opinion that our buffet has evolved from an older, more country-style buffet. They look at our 50-foot salad bar and can imagine a smaller ancestor with far fewer choices. An ancestor that didn't offer as many hot selections or have a bakery with fresh baked muffins and breads. Didn't offer homemade soups and lacked the fresh fruit and ice cream bar that Cucumbers customers have grown to love. But some will say, where are the transitional buffets? In addition, they look at everything that we offer and say that Cucumbers is irreducibly complex. If you were to move just one of our offerings, the entire buffet wouldn't function. Well, I would like to think that Cucumbers was intelligently designed, since I helped design it. But at the same time, it truly is an evolutionary step up the buffet ladder. And as always, if you bring in your atheist newsletter or church bulletin, you will receive a $2 discount off the buffet price. Cucumbers, one heavenly buffet at 75th and France in Edina.
I've never met another atheist.
Sure you have. Non-believers make up 12% of the population.
Then where are they?
You can meet us at book clubs, pub crawls, discussion groups, movie nights, monthly meetings.
Okay, I get it. How am I going to keep track of all this?
Easy. Sign up for Minnesota Atheist Meetup Group and subscribe to AWE.
What's a meetup group?
Meetup is an online networking site that helps people build communities. We have over 700 members with at least two events every week.
And what is AWE?
It stands for Atheist Weekly Email. It comes out every Friday and lists everything that's going on.
How do I sign up?
Go to the Minnesota Atheists website, minnesotaatheists.org. On the left, click on the words Get Awe-Inspired.
And for the meetup?
Look for the red meetup badge on the right. Above it are the words Click here to check out the meetup group.
I'm sold. Minnesota Atheists, Meetup, and AWE. What's that website again?
MinnesotaAtheists.org.
Hello and welcome to Atheist Viewpoint. I'm David Silverman, president of American Atheists, substituting in for Nick Fish, our national program director, who is out. So today I'd like to talk to you about one of my favorite topics, which is the labels that we use. And I'd like to just rant a little bit about the term agnostic. Agnostic is one of those terms that I really, really hate. It's a term that I believe very, very few people should use. I think the only people who should use the word agnostic are the people who are literally in a situation where using the word atheist would get you physical harm or harm in some way, you know, maybe fired from your job. But I think there's a lot of atheists out there who call themselves agnostics, and they need to stop. So before I get into that, I want to just say that atheism is the absence of a belief in a deity. Theism is a belief in a deity and the practice around it. And if you're an atheist, you are without that belief. And that doesn't mean you're against that belief. That doesn't mean you're absolutely sure that there is no God. It just means you are without a belief in a God. And that is a very broad term. And it means just that. You are absent a belief in a God. So if somebody says to you, do you have a belief in a God, and when I say a God, let's use the correct terminology, a God is a sentient supernatural being. So God is not love. God is not the universe. God is not all humanity. God is a sentient supernatural being, a sentient supernatural entity. A God is a separate sentient supernatural entity. And if you don't have an active belief in one or many, you're an atheist. And if you don't have an active belief in a God and you absolutely hate the word atheist, you're still an atheist. But a lot of atheists don't like the word because it has a negative connotation. It has a negative connotation, of course, because religion says that we should have a negative connotation. Atheist has a negative connotation because religion trashes atheism, and so people don't use the word atheist, which is known, by the way, by 90% of the country. They use other terms like agnostic, which is a term I actually really hate, and I just want to mention why. I am holding in my hand right now a coffee mug. Now, this is definitely a coffee mug, and it's yellow, and it's got some writing on it, and I have just drunk my coffee from it. It is empty. There's some little coffee left in the bottom, and I am sure that it's a coffee mug. Now, am I sure beyond 0.0% of the doubt? No, because if you go philosophical, you can't be sure about anything. We could all be brains in a vat, in a spaceship, the Matrix could be a true story, yada, yada, yada. But we use the word sure all the time. We use the word definite all the time. We don't say, I'm pretty sure I'm holding a coffee mug, but I don't know everything in the universe. This coffee mug that's in my hand could be God, cleverly disguised as a coffee mug. I can't prove it's not true, and neither can you. If I smash the coffee mug into a million pieces, that still could be just God testing us, and you can't prove it's not true. So do I say this is probably a coffee mug? Do I say my name is probably David Silverman? I don't know for sure because I don't know everything in the universe. We use these terms all the time in everyday situations, sure, certain, definite, and in none of those times do we know everything in the universe? So when atheists couch their terms by saying, well, I don't know everything in the universe, so I'm not going to call myself an atheist, I'm going to call myself agnostic, first of all, they're wrong because nobody knows everything in the universe, and they're still atheists because you're using the definition that religion gives us, which is that atheism is the absolute denial of God's existence, which is false. And it makes us logically... It makes the argument logically incompatible with reality. We don't know everything in the universe, but we still don't have a belief in a God, which makes us atheists. Now, if we use the word agnostic instead of the word atheist, if we say, well, Yes, I don't have a belief in a God, but I don't know everything in the universe, so I don't want to say it. So I'm going to say I'm an agnostic. What are we doing? We are elevating the idea of a God above everything else that we know to be true. We are saying God doesn't exist is less sure than this is a coffee mug in my hand. We are elevating religion above everything else that we know to be true. That helps religion. That boosts religion in our mind and as well as everybody else's. So when you're using the word agnostic, you're not only not answering the question about whether or not you believe in God, you're sidestepping the issue with whether or not you know everything in the universe, but you're only doing it for religion. You're only doing it because religion tells you that it's bad to say you're an atheist. And I'm asking you to please consider that. Using the word agnostic elevates religion over everything else that we know to be true. I'm sure my name is David Silverman. I'm sure this is a coffee mug. And guess what? I'm also sure there's no God, even though you don't have to be sure there is no God in order to say you're an atheist. So I hope everybody out there will toss the word agnostic from their vocabulary, because it's a ridiculous thing to say. You are just as agnostic about this coffee mug being a coffee mug than you are about the invisible magic man in the sky. And if you're not willing to say you're agnostic about this coffee mug, or you're agnostic about your own name, you shouldn't be willing to say I'm agnostic about God. Having said that, I need to talk about the National Convention for American Atheists, which is coming up March 29th to April 1st. We are making a positive and different convention this year. Hugh Laurie is coming to be our keynote speaker, but we also have a fantastic European feminist, the fantastic European feminist, Inna Shevchenko is coming. Barry Lynn, barring his health issues, is also scheduled to come. And Anthony Magdabosco is coming, as well as Yvette Guinevere, Yvette D'Altremont. We are going to have a different and really, really interesting convention this year. It's going to be heartful. It's going to be loving. We're going to have a charity event, so that we can pack food for the hungry. We're going to be taking money to help an ex-Muslim move to America to help start his new life. We're going to be really going into the comedy and the fun. This is going to be a convention that I think you're going to remember. It's in Oklahoma City, March 29th through April 1st. And I want to make sure that people understand that our conventions are positive. They're welcoming, and they're fun. The objective of the convention, my objective of the convention, is for everybody to leave with great big sore faces from smiling too much. So please check out, the website is atheists.org. Tickets are on sale now to see Hugh Laurie and Barry Lynn and Inna Shevchenko and the best that atheism has to offer, and meet some fantastic people at the American Atheists National Convention in Oklahoma City. I hope to see you all there. Thank you all for listening. This is David Silverman from American Atheists. Please join American Atheists and have a wonderful day. The website again for the convention is atheists.org/convention. The website to join is atheists.org/join. David Silverman, thank you for listening.